Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WAJR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Weariness strikes while revival tarries. For every truth-preaching pastor, church, and saint desiring revival above all else, join us for this sermon by one of my favorites, Evangelist Victor Jackson, delivered at the General Conference of the United Pentecostal Church International. This is part one of a two-part series. But first, listen as our friends Phillips Craig and Dean sing from their project titled Fearless. This is Name Above All Names.
There is a name with power to save that will never end. There is a love the grave that brings new life again. A song is rising, all creation sings.
One more time to the Lord. The presence of God is in this building. Indebted to so many, give honor to my bishop, Bishop Varnum, who's the district secretary of the Florida District. He started pastoring in Bellevue at 18 years old. And he pastored over 30 years. He's celebrating the 50-year anniversary of being in ministry. My wonderful pastor, Pastor Jason, Sister Halina. These are my fathers in the gospel that have molded me. Everything I am is what they have placed into me. I remember when I came back from that Congress and I told my pastor, I said, I feel like God's calling me to preach. He said, you can be like Elisha, who got one touch of the anointing and he burned everything. At that time, I was only in church 3 months. I didn't know who Elisha was. But I know that when he said that, the power of God hit that place, and he took time to pray with me in his busy schedule. Forever indebted to him. Give honor to my beautiful wife, Louisa, and my son, James Asher. We travel everywhere together. She's with me 90% of the time. My son, James Asher, he's got platinum status with American Airlines. And he's spoiled. He crosses his legs on the airplane. He asks the flight attendant for water or apple juice, puts his pinky up in the air. He slips slowly. Pray for him. He's spoiled. Give honor to all these wonderful men and women of God in this building, all my wonderful peers that have provoked me to be better. Thank you guys for letting me spend time with you. Let's turn in our Bibles quickly to the Gospel of Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. If you have it, say amen. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Last scripture, verse 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. I draw my thought where it says they fainted. They fainted. When you look throughout the Strong's Concordance and you look at that word fainted, it is the imperfect word of the word I am. I am is perfect tense. Fainted is the imperfect tense of I am. And that's what I want to talk about here tonight. I want to preach to you on this subject, the forgotten anointing. The forgotten anointing just means fainted, means they just are existing. They're just breathing. The forgotten anointing. Why don't you lay your Bibles down? Everyone close your eyes and lift up your hands. Let's ask the Lord to speak in this place. Lord Jesus, I thank you for the singers, the musicians, all the hard workers this week. Lord, all the volunteers. Lord, all the hard work that has gone into this week. God, I ask that there would be a refreshing from the Holy Ghost that would come upon this auditorium that would transform lives forever. Oh God, let there be something from heaven that would touch and minister. Lord, give me the thoughts to think. Give me the words to speak. Let the gift of revelation, let understanding flow in this building like never before. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ of Nazareth, in Jesus' name, can you clap your hands unto the Lord? And if you're excited, why don't you clap those hands a little bit louder? If you're really excited, why don't you clap your hands, all ye people, and somebody shout unto God with the voice of triumph. Come on, somebody open up their mouth in this building. Hallelujah! Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I will never forget the day that my whole life changed after teaching Bible studies for over a year already. I was born in the midst of revival. It was the culture at my church to teach Bible studies. And so I taught Bible studies. After 8 weeks being in church, I just went right into teaching Bible studies. I taught Bible studies to so many different people, teammates, coaches, international students. That's all I knew, was teaching Bible studies and loving souls above everything. Taught Bible studies for about a year and a half, almost about a year and a half before my pastor felt led to have me come and testify for 15 minutes. But I remember these Bible studies, and these Bible studies are so foundational to everything that I am, because I got to get one-on-one with certain souls that were hurting, certain souls that were broken, certain souls that were battling. And I'll never forget the day that I taught a Bible study to a young lady, Michelle Ford, and she was our basketball team manager. And she told me, you know, if that Holy Ghost is real that you're talking about, I have a friend whose baby's in the hospital. She's been in the hospital since she was born. And she's about 5 months old, almost 6 months old. And they're about to take her off life support. Can you come and pray for her because she's going to die? And I said, well, I love to come. I'm only a year into ministry, and I'm already faced with a traumatic situation. I walk into that hospital. Before I went, I had my pastor and bishop and the Varnum family. I had them lay hands on me. And I went there after a year being in church, and here I am teaching all these Bible studies, and now it just got real. Because I was dealing always with spiritual death, but this would be my first encounter with physical death. I went there, and when I went there, this baby, we'll never forget her. She'd be 9 years old today. Visualized her worshiping the Lord here today. And this nine-year-old, this five-month-old Isabella, her cheeks were swollen because of the steroids. She had breathing tubes in her, and she was just panting for air. And they took her off the life support. And as soon as they did, she was supposed to immediately die. But she didn't. I was holding her arm, and I was praying for her for about 30 minutes. And I was interceding, and I was speaking in other tongues as loud as I could. There was a denominational pastor there just watching, praying prayers of comfort, expecting the young girl to die. But I just believed that God could heal her, and I interceded. I just wanted, my whole life is just putting into action what my pastor and bishop have preached. And so they believed that God could heal. So I began to pray healing, and she was supposed to immediately die. But for 30 minutes after taking her off life support, she was still alive. And then finally, I felt her body grow cold in my hands, and I saw her take that last breath. And when she did, when she took that last breath, I thought for sure God was going to heal her. I came out of an anointed prayer meeting with my pastor and bishop. I went to that hospital with so much faith. I was just foolish enough to believe that God could do anything. And so I went there, and that disappointment that came on my face afterwards, I went home and I tried to behave as if nothing happened. But to be honest with you, I couldn't get out the bed at that time. I was working on the golf course maintenance. I had to call into work. I couldn't go. And for a week, I couldn't get out of the bed. I was so traumatized by what had happened. And I felt bad because I was so weary, because I had other Bible studies scheduled that week that I had to call and cancel because I was so weary and tired because of what happened. And then the Lord comforted me, and he said, Victor, it's okay to be tired. It's okay to be tired when you're dealing with real souls and real people and real divorces. It's okay to be weary when you're dealing with real backsliding kids. That's not something to throw under the rug and behave as a robot. It is okay to have feelings and emotion and compassion. It's okay to be weary. If you were just a businessman, that I would indict you. I would make you feel guilty if you were just a businessman. But no, you're dealing with life's greatest treasure. You're dealing with precious souls. And we have a habit of getting wrapped up into those souls. So it breaks our heart when we have to go and bury people that we love. It breaks our heart when we invest in people that betray us. It's okay to get up sometimes and get back in the bed and let the comfort of the Holy Ghost come and pick you back up to give you the energy to go another day. It's okay to lean on the Holy Ghost. It's okay not to be all strong and independent without God. Come on, somebody. It is okay to let God open up his arms and wrap you up. It's okay to be tired. And I come and the Holy Ghost preaching to weary people here. I know you played it cool. You played it cool all conference. The conference was almost over. You act like everything's okay in your life. Act like all types of revival happening, but there's no hell. Act like everything's perfect in your life. You came with a smile. You came with a nice jacket, a nice dress, but I come to minister in the Holy Ghost to your spirit, because I feel somebody has been weary on their journey, and the Holy Ghost sent me to say he's about to send a refreshing in this place. If we can get honest. You've been weary because you're still getting calls from your backslidden child saying they want nothing to do with truth. You've been weary with counseling sessions with spouses that are committed to not being together anymore. You've been weary, and all the time you're dealing with the attack of the enemy. You're dealing with people being jealous of you. You're dealing with people in your city that despise your church, and you try to act and smile. You come to conference and smile like everything's right in your world. But the Holy Ghost said they gotta admit that they have been tired. And when they admit they've been tired, I will send a comforting presence into their bosom, and I will give them strength to be what I have called them to be. Let them know they don't have to do everything in their flesh. Come on, somebody. You don't have to do everything in your flesh. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. That's what the Holy Ghost is for. There be to be a refreshing that begins to come out of our bosom. And been tired. You've been tired. You've been weary and acting like nothing's wrong. As a matter of fact, you feel guilty for being tired. You feel guilty to say that you woke up a little later than you normally do. You feel guilty when they ask you what you did today. You know you had to take a day of rest, but you have to start and say, you know, I did a little something, because you're scared to tell people that you're weary, because we get intimidated by one another. Come on, somebody. And you hear about all the good stuff going on and everybody else's life, and yes, there's some great things going on in your life, but the truth of the matter is, it took everything in you to walk through those double doors here tonight. You wanted to stay in bed. You were about to skip out on general conference. You've been so weary, but still, in the midst of all that weariness, you crawled on in here, believing that God would put a fresh touch of anointing on you, so you could go back and I can feel the first inklings of that anointing beginning to seep through your weariness. Come on, somebody, I feel somebody getting a breakthrough right now. I wish someone would clap their hands if I'm preaching to you. I wish somebody would lift up their voice if I'm preaching to you. If you don't know what to shout about, just shout, ah, and God will send an anointing to. You don't even have the words in your prayer closet anymore. You just get in and you just sit there and just breathe a while. I'm preaching to somebody in this building. You don't even have the strength to intercede. When things used to happen in your church, you used to go straight to intercession. But after someone close to you died, it's tough to get the motivation to open up your mouth. You just kind of want to sit there, and you feel guilty for not praying as much as you want to pray. You feel guilty. I'm preaching in the Holy Ghost right now. You feel guilty for taking a day off. You feel guilty for feeling weary. So you just press on. You just keep pressing on like nothing's wrong. And then I condemn myself that week. I said, what's wrong with me? How God is ever going to use me? Me being wearied. One situation literally dropped me to my knees. knees. I said, God, how you ever going to use me? And I would just give up and literally die in condemnation until I realized that there was someone in the Old Testament. Moses. Moses, that great man of God that had the tablets of stone, that walked in the glory of God. Moses, that Moses with that rod of power. Moses, that Moses with all that glory that God saw God face to face, that hid in the cleft of the rock. Moses, that Moses that went on 240-day fast. Moses, that Moses, that powerful man that watched the Egyptian army be destroyed. Moses, that Moses, that powerful man that watched the plagues, watched the fire, watched the waters recede and watched the waters demolish everything. Moses, that great man of God with all that power, I would condemn myself until I saw that great leader weary. Exodus chapter 17 and verse 11. The Bible says, and it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, the one on one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady unto the going down of the sun. When Moses got tired, God didn't condemn him. No, he just gave him a rock to hold on and a brother. God just sent a rock to hold him and a brother to help him. Can I tell you, God doesn't beat you up when you get tired. He just gives you a rock to lean on. He just gives you a rock to tell you everything's okay. Can I tell you, we have a rock. We have a rock that we can cleave to. That if you just lean on him every now and again, he'll give you the strength. I said, we got a rock right now. I said, the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. Upon this rock, I will build my church. And the gate upon this rock, not upon my personality, not upon my intellect, not upon my ability, not upon my energy, but upon the rock. The rock's gonna keep me when the devil tries to destroy me. The rock's gonna hold. I said, you got a rock. You got a rock that's not afraid of you being weary. You got a rock that says, I'm waiting on you. So God says, Moses, I'm not going to beat you up. There's a rock for you to sit on for a while. And now I got a brother to hold up your hands. Aren't you thankful to come to General Conference where you got a rock and a brother in the same place? Come on, somebody. You got a brother beside you. You got a sister beside you. It says, we're going to get through this together. We're going to overcome this together. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how old you are. I don't care if you're rich or poor. We're brothers and sisters in this building. And when we link up together, there is a refreshing. There is an anointing. There is a power. I wish you would grab somebody's hands and begin to worship for a little bit. There's a refreshing in this building. There's an anointing of the Holy Ghost. There is a rock and there is a brother. Come on, you don't have to hit the rock, just speak to the rock. You don't have to hit the rock, it's already been done. We talked about it this morning. You just open up your mouth and begin to cry out to the rock, and there will be a comforting anointing. Speak.
speak to it, speak to it, speak to it. I said, the rock is sufficient. I said, the rock's going to take you the rest of the way. I said, you will not be destroyed. I said, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I said, he that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. I said, he is the author and the finisher. He's the one that gave you the vision, but he's the one that's going to fulfill it. Come on, somebody. You have a rock, and he is sufficient. You came here with guilt and condemnation all over you. You felt guilty even coming to General Conference. You've had condemnation all over you, and it's tried to choke out the move of the Spirit this whole week, because every time you're about to break through, you all of a sudden get weary. And when you get weary, condemnation comes and tries to steal your joy. But I come in the Holy Ghost tonight to tear down every form of condemnation, to tear down every form of guilt, to tear down everything. Come on, somebody. I said, we have a rock and we have a brother. That's why I love what Peter said. Peter said, love the brotherhood. That was a commandment. That wasn't a suggestion. Come on, somebody. Because we need one another. Because when I get weary, you help me. And when you get weary, I help you. And when we get into church together, and when we come into settings like this, we're not here to condemn one another because you're tired. We say, you know what? You came to the right place. Let me show you a rock. Go ahead and sit down. Now let me lift up your hands, because your congregation's going to prosper. As long as Moses' hands were lifted, the congregation advanced. Come on, that's why you need a brother. That's why you need a rock. Because when we get together, our churches go forward. Our congregations go forward. We advance. If I'm helping you, somebody shout yes. I feel a refreshing beginning to move in this auditorium. Hallelujah to God. I feel the Holy Ghost. Why are you feeling guilty about being tired? You're in the middle of a building program. Why are you feeling guilty about being tired? You're dealing with a situation that normally destroys other churches, but still your church is coming together in the midst of frustration, in the midst of weariness. They say, who's got the rock today? We got the rock. Go ahead, brother. Link up alongside of and say, you know what? We're going to overcome this together, because greater is the rock in me. Oh, come on now. Their rock is not as our rock. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. I got a rock on the inside that overpowers the obstacles on the outside. That's why God gave me this text of Jesus preaching and teaching and healing every sickness and every disease. But the Bible says he was moved with compassion when he saw the weary. That lets me know that weariness moves God in a way sickness cannot. He wasn't moved with compassion while he was preaching. He wasn't moved in compassion while he was teaching. He wasn't moved with compassion while he was healing. But when he saw some tired people, they were on a journey following him, he stopped the miracle service and said, I got to go to that tired laborer. I got to go to that tired person that's been on a journey. He stopped the miracle crusade and he took, come on, that's what's happening here tonight. God just stopped the whole conference. Say, I see some needs. I see some people that are tired. So let me hold on for a while and let me go to them. He interrupted the miracle service to minister to people that were tired. Notice the Bible says he preached, he taught, and he healed every manner of sickness and disease. And then he was moved with compassion when they fainted. That lets me know that weariness is not sickness. Weariness is not a disease. There is nothing wrong with you. You're human. That's why he gave us rest and sleep, to show us that we are inferior beings to his majesty. He neither slumbers nor...
We're out of time now, but join us next week for the conclusion of this message.
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.